A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, they're the winners at the recent Entrepreneur of the Year Award, which celebrates its 30th year, as the award continues to build upon its legacy as one of Singapore's most established business accolades. We're chatting with Derek Yap, CEO of PBA International Private Limited, which went from bearings and mechanical components trading to the platform for robotics and automation solutions across multiple industries it is today. They also picked up the award for Established Entrepreneur. Derek, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Belated congratulations, I suppose, as well, first up.
Thank you.
Would you, though, like people to know about PBA?
So I'd like people to recognize PBA as a robotics and automation platform because...
Moving away from your roots, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because we have a very strong branding, right? And that works for us and also against us. Against us meaning people still remember us as a trading and distribution company.
Mm.
But that is only a small percentage of the business now. So 85% or more of our business is actually in robotics and automation.
Full disclosure though, we did have a chat sometime in April and you told us about how some 12 years ago, PBA realized that the switch needed to be made to move away from bearings and mechanical components to robotics and automation solutions. So 12 years in, how was it, the switch? At that time, I didn't get a chance to ask you, ups and downs, what was it like?
Still, I think we are still in the midst of switching. Right? So in the robotics and automation field, it is very fast-paced. Right? So actually, in a fast-paced environment, you have to switch faster than others. While in a traditional environment, let's say an asset-heavy environment, you may not have to invent yourself as quickly. So I think we are still doing that. However, I think we have learned a lot along the way of the 12 years, right? We've also accumulated a lot of know-how, experience, good people. So it's been interesting, a lot of ups and downs.
Were there noteworthy points of the journey you remember vividly more than others?
Well,
when you wanted to quit or something? No.
Unfortunately, no. No, we've gone through quite a lot of failures, right? And actually, full disclosure, right? I think we're still going through failures now. So, most people try to tell you that, oh yeah, the transformation has been very easy and we have done fantastic stuff. But I think in reality, at least for us, we fail, but so long as we succeed more often than we fail, or the success brings us more than what it costs us for the failure, I think we are good. So the intention is to still continue to fail, right? And fail faster and cheaper, as we learn how to do it.
That's controversial, though. Continue to fail, but then it is the testing out of how things are done. And if it's not working, let's just move on quickly, right?
Yeah,
let's not flog the dead horse.
Well, the idea behind it is if you don't intend to, you don't go in knowing that you'll fail, right? You go in hoping that you succeed. But if you don't go in and expect that there might be failure, then you take a very conservative approach to innovation. Then it's not really innovation, right? Then it's just modification of whatever's out there. Yeah. So if you want to be something at least a bit more push the limits, then I think you have to expect to fail.
How would you categorize your risk appetite?
High.
So you're okay with the unknown and just going into it. We've got to test it out anyway, is your idea.
Yeah, which is why, yes. So I think over the years, people have spotted this and highlighted to me that my risk appetite is high. And so I balance it by getting a team of people that will then hold me back if they find that something is going wrong. Right?
Derek's gone nuts again. Hold him back.
Yeah, but I think that's the best, right? We often try to encourage people to say no, right, in the company versus everyone being yes. So we encourage this kind of controversy in the company, positive friction, we call it. So if I find myself to be very risk-taking, then the balance would be to find someone that will hold me back. Similarly, within the team, if someone is too conservative, then we will try to put in some elements of risk-takers in the team. Yeah.
Did you ever at any point want to give up? Too many failures, too many sleepless nights.
Give up as an entire journey, no. But giving up in particular ventures, yes. So one of the things I think that there's a very, very fine line between craziness and also entrepreneurship, right, is I think you need to know when to throw the towel, right? I mean, you don't put good money after bad money, right?
And okay.
So that's really just using or just funding your ego, right? You just cannot show people that you fail and just keep on putting good money after bad money. But then again, giving up too early is also a bad thing, right? So meaning it's a good idea, but it's just the wrong time. You just need to put in a bit of money to see it through. So I think the genius is just finding out when it's time to throw the towel and when it's time to put in a bit more money to just see it through.
So as a business owner, how do you figure that out? Just a little bit and you go over the cliff, or just a little bit hanging on could be massive success.
Yes, yes. So one of the, I don't think I have a, I mean, if I have, I'm with Jeff Bezos really, but I don't think I have that the winning formula yet. But one of the things that we learn is, first, I think the ego has to get out the door. So you cannot make decisions based on ego. Often it's very expensive if you do. Second, I think the crowd knowledge is often stronger than one. So even though the leader has to set the direction, right? But you need to have a lot of information from the floor, from all the other stakeholders. Very dangerous to make a decision just based on one person's point of view.
Yeah. Would you say it's a flat hierarchy over at PB International? You get the input from your team, obviously. It sounds like very collaborative.
Yes, yes. We try to have it as flat as we can. We kill this kind of very tall structure, right? Where one guy manages three and then three manages another three. We don't find that effective. Like, because in our line, if you're too far away from the market, you can't feel it, right? And by the time you make a decision, it may be
too
unnecessary.
Late.
Yeah, you don't even have to make that anymore.
Congratulations again on the award. What's it mean to you? Must be quite heartening 12 years into the big change and quite a number of years since you took over.
Yeah, well, this award has some personal meaning to me, right? Because many years ago, my dad went for the same award. And at the time, he went in as a trading and a distribution company, more so than what we are now. So fortunately enough, I think my dad got the award, although he didn't get the overall winner, but he got the award still, nonetheless. And this time around, we went in again, and after transforming, we got the award again, but this time we got the overall winner, right? So in that sense, I think, yeah, significant, personally significant to me.
Where is it now? Pride of place in your office?
Yes, yes, amongst...
But of course.
Yes, yes, right in the center where all the awards are. Yeah.
So we also want to talk about Race Academy that you mentioned the last time you were here. Give us a report card, A, Bs and Cs, I suppose.
So far, this is one of the pet projects that we have, right? I personally oversee this because very, very important to us also, right? So why this was important to us, we wanted to not only be able to provide the ecosystem with solutions, meaning the robots and turnkey solutions. We wanted to be able to provide the ecosystem with people, right? With human talent, which we think is more important than the robots.
Human talent with the appropriate knowledge, obviously.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And in such an environment, it's very hard to just hire guys off the street and say, okay, and these guys come in with the appropriate robotics and automation technology. Often not, right? So it requires this element of maybe a bit more forward-thinking kind of training. While the foundation is being set by the schools and IHLs, you need people like us to bring in what the market needs. So I've always wanted to push this, and so far very successful. The group has given me the stats that more than 50% of the last cohort got a job within months.
Excellent.
And it's not it's a job with a higher paying salary, better prospects.
What about your incubation project as well?
Yes, so we have modified a bit of the incubation project. Not only do we incubate companies, so actually we're still looking. So if there's any companies that want PBA to incubate, please contact us, right? But we have been focused on getting companies that are robotics and automation based rather than being an incubator everywhere, because there are many incubators, so we want to be able to value it. But over and above that, we have also done something the industry called Venture Build. So we build startups within our company, and then we spin them out as a startup, right? So we do that for ourselves also. So it's been quite exciting. I'm hoping there'll be more activity in this deep tech robotic automation startup. I'm hoping there's more, but we see more traction than earlier.
Let's get a bit personal though. Did you always want to join the family business?
Oh, okay. So no. Yeah, when I first...
Your dad knew about this, right? So yeah. Listening right now and finally finding out things about you.
So when I first graduated, actually, I didn't want to join the family business because the family business was essentially a hardware store, right? So I didn't want to be in a hardware store. After I graduated from NUS, did quite well, I thought, why would I want...
What was your focus in school.
Business management.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't want to go in.
Appropriate to some degree though, right?
Yeah. Okay, the reason why I went to that was at that time, I really didn't know what I wanted to go into. So okay. I was afraid of studying a specific niche like chemistry or mechanical engineering.
Or yeah. Okay.
So I said, okay, let's go into management. Because I like business. At that time, I knew I liked business. I just didn't know what business.
What kind? Okay.
Yeah. So upon graduation, I actually didn't want to join the family business because I thought it was a bit too traditional, right? Too old school, super not sexy. So I wanted to find a business that was sexy, like designing, industrial design and so on. Yeah. But my dad convinced me. He told me to join the business and...
Or else.
No, not else. He was actually quite slick in his move. So he told me to join the business, and he said that, well, if you don't like it, then go and do something else, right? But at least join, see what the business is about, see if you like it or not. But so this was something that I asked other second generation business owners, right? So they said that, yeah, normally if you are in the business, it's very hard to step out. But if you're out of the business, you can still play around for a while before you join the family business. So I didn't know that. I was a bit too young. So.
Suckered by the dad, it sounds like. What advice do you have for other entrepreneurs and business owners? Let's start with, say, other second-generation owners who are taking over family businesses as well. Okay. Do the running around first before joining the business. Is that it?
I think it depends very much on the individual. So I don't think I'm qualified to give advice, but just a bit of sharing, right? At least for us, it was interesting, even though I joined the family's business, but we transformed the family's business and my dad was, my dad is very open-minded. So I got to give him credit for that. So he allowed us to experiment with different businesses, different methods, and different management style, everything, right? Basically, he let us overhaul any part of the business. Although sometimes he sandbox us. But I mean, in general, he's very open-minded. That helped, right? That helped because even though I didn't have other companies' experience, but I could experiment a lot within our company. As opposed to, I mean, if my dad was a bit more reserved, then it would have benefited me better if I went out and gotten the experience before I came back in. So I was lucky to have my dad to be a bit open-minded. Yeah.
Personally, what do you look forward to in 2019? Okay, what was 2018 first up for you?
2018, we laid a lot of foundation, a lot of very, very strong foundation, which I think the group will be able to build on for the next few years. Very significant moves, really push PB as a group to a different level.
Hoping to see the fruits of that maybe in 2019? Was that too soon?
No, actually, we will see parts of it. I mean, after we established, so we did it in a very structured manner. So we knew what we wanted. So we built up this platform. We did it. We successfully did it. And in 2019, we actually have a plan. So we did a 5 years plan, and we count back, right? So we know what we want to achieve in 5 years time. The first move was this. We already did it. So moving forward to the next 4 years, we have strategic moves that we were going to take. So I do think that we will see the results in 2019. Yeah. What we've done, we've gone into a very aggressive hiring spree in 2018, actually. So we hired a lot of key position holders that we previously did not have. And these guys are very, very good guys in their current field. Right? And we are fortunate that they are willing to join us.
Should that not help you out a little bit?
Yeah.
Are you a control freak, Derek?
No,
can't
I'm
let
not,
go of
I'm
the
not,
reins.
Oh, I'm totally not a control freak.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have the ability to micromanage, so I use that as an excuse to say I don't know how to control people, and then
right.
You all just run the show. Yeah, but so I'm almost like what Lee Kuan Yew said, right? I'm just a conductor, right? And everyone else are the star players, not me. Yeah. So, 20. I think the problem that we have and why we probably won't have much rest in 2019 is we expanded, in both directions, right? In terms of depth and in terms of width. So, yeah. So that's why we need a lot of headcount coming to fill the positions. But very exciting year for us.
Very quickly, do you think you'd like your kids to take over one day?
I can only say this. I would hope that the next CEO is not from our family.
Why is that?
Okay, I think that if you try to keep too much within the family, you tend to, it's almost like inbreeding, lah, if you think about it, right? So if you always have only within the family and you don't allow others to come in, right, then you limit the amount of talent and you limit the amount of idea generation that we can get.
What if within the family there is talent and they have the capability? Mm-hmm. So what if their family?
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think that's perfect. So that's why I'm saying that I wouldn't say that a family member can't be a CEO.
But you don't want to actively just keep it within
exactly.
The family. Okay.
Exactly. I wouldn't say that a non-family member can't be a CEO, right? I actually hope that a non-family member be a CEO while family members earn their right? I think that's the idea behind it. But I mean, obviously, there's a larger pool of non-family member than family members, right? So there must be a larger pool of talent that we can tap than a Yap family. So I do hope that the next one would be a non-family member.
Right.
And we are actually doing succession planning for that.
Already?
Yeah.
This is why you've won the award, and this is why PB International Private Limited is so forward-thinking. Derek Yap is CEO there. They just recently picked up the Established Entrepreneur Award at the Entrepreneur of the Year Award by EYA. You can check them out at pbagroup.net. That's pbagroup.net. Derek, thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.